You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, it's your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Monday, the 25th of November 2024. The Australian share market rose today, closing 0.3% stronger. We'll have the details with Luke McMillan from Fear Asset Management in a few moments' time. But first, to your retirement, where AMP says in a survey of 2,000 Australians, of those over the age 65, 80% don't feel prepared for the transition to aged care, while 7 in 10 worry about the cost of care. 75% expect aged care to diminish their wealth and children's inheritance, while half don't know what government assistance is available. So what can be done to feel more financially secure as we move into aged care? For that and more, I spoke with AMP's Director of Retirement, Ben Hillier. Ben, can you run us through firstly some of the government's key proposed reforms?
There's a number of reforms that are starting as part of the proposed legislation kicking on from in July next year. Probably the three I'd mention are simplifying the assessment of eligibility for aged care. Currently, we've got three different systems. That's going to be simplified into one package. Number two, some changes to the definitions and support available as part of home care. And then number three, changing to the funding of aged care. We know that unfortunately in this country, we've got more and more Australians retiring, more and more going to be needing aged care, and we have an unaffordable model at the moment. And so the government's looking for greater contributions for individuals who can afford to pay, but there's still protections in place such as lifetime caps.
Okay, so when we're talking about aged care, what's your research showing about the extent where Aussies are actually ready to move into aged care?
Oh, look, it's Australians are worried. 4 in 5 don't feel prepared for the transition to aged care. That's 7 in 10 are worrying about the cost of aged care, and similar numbers are really concerned about the impact that's going to have on the finances available as they pass on wealth to their children. We know that from our previous research that AMP has done, that the majority of retired Australians really want to help their children. They're actually seeing that their kids are under a fair bit of financial stress, especially things like access to the housing market. And so they're just seeing aged care as just one more thing that's going to cause uncertainty and complexity for themselves, but also less wealth for their children.
All right, so let's provide some tips and some advice out there. I think your research suggests that half don't know what government assistance is available for them for aged care. So what kind of assistance is there?
Look, there's a short answer and there's a complicated answer. The short answer is, look, there is help available and you need not worry too much. People who can't afford to pay won't be required to pay exorbitant amounts. Sometimes people hear about things like, oh, I've got to pay $500,000 or $1 million. Look, if you can't afford to pay that, that's okay. Assistance is available. So that's the simple answer. The more complicated answer is, look, there's a whole bunch of different rules and the government is trying to simplify them. But there's various levels of means testing available. And then if you're eligible for the age pension, generally you're going to be eligible for some aged care assistance. There's a wonderful website, the My Aged Care website put out by the government. Jump along to that website, speak to a financial advisor. In some cases, speak to your superannuation fund or there's other obviously service providers that provide aged care that have lots of information available on their websites. But get educated, but don't worry too much.
What else can they do and what are the roles of organisations like AMP, for example?
Look, one thing that is underappreciated is that if you access something like a lifetime income stream, you get three benefits. Number one, you get an income for life. Number two, it increases your eligibility for the age pension, which is wonderful. But number three, it actually increases your eligibility for aged care assistance because what it does is hide some of the assets from the assets and income test that the government use to determine our eligibility for these sorts of assistance. And so things like that are really, really important. We're starting to see organisations like AMP launch these new solutions. And it's part of a new wave of offerings that has been encouraged by the government to help Australians have more comfort and confidence as they retire.
That is Ben Hillier there from AMP.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
The Australian share market hit a record today, closing up 0.3% at 8,417. It was stronger earlier in the session, but a record reached nonetheless by the end of the day. For more, I spoke with Luke McMillan, the head of research at Ophir Asset Management. Luke, the ASX hitting a record today. Given all the economic headwinds, though, you've got the US election outcome, threats of tariffs leading to potentially higher inflation and higher for longer interest rates, a slow Chinese economy, geopolitical tensions. Given all that list, does it surprise you that the market's doing so well?
Well, you're making me want to sell out there, Ricardo, over that long list, but it doesn't really surprise me. What you normally see post an election is generally a relief rally that the uncertainty of the election is behind you. We are also at one of, if probably not the strongest, seasonally strong parts of the year, being November and December, running into year end. And so with a few of those uncertainties out of the way, yes, there's a worry list there. There's always a worry list. But I think with some of the election uncertainty out of the way, it still looks like it's onwards and upwards through into year end.
So is this Trump trade that we've been speaking a lot over the past few weeks still alive and well? And in addition, what about the traditional Santa rally?
Yeah, that's right. You know, we put the Christmas tree up in our household on the weekend, and we're on the way there at the moment. And we still have that traditional sort of Trump trade is still there. You know, financials outperforming. We've had consumer discretionary as a sector outperforming in the US and also in Australia, as people are expecting, you know, a stronger economy in the US with, you know, tax cuts coming through or certainly promised. There are some countervailing forces to that potentially, you know, with tariffs, et cetera. But most are looking on the bright side that Trump is using the share market as a litmus test, and he'll want to make sure it keeps going up.
And part of this Trump trade, I mean, Bitcoin's threatening to reach 100,000 US. I mean, what do you make of it?
Yeah, we all wish we'd had more of it, right? I think it's just part of it. It's probably, you know, as everyone was looking at the betting markets for how Trump was likely to go leading into the election, one of the greatest tests, if you like, of the people's belief in him getting in, and then, you know, him providing a better world for Americans, was what's happening with the Bitcoin price. And so, you know, I think probably that's part of it, at least in the year end. Doesn't seem to be a lot of headwinds for it at the moment.
The Australian share market, though, seems to be underperforming its global peers, especially with the US, which is doing extremely well. What do you make of that?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's been a good year, certainly. And in fact, it's been slightly better than average for the Aussie share market, I think up around 15-16% year to date. It's not up the same amount as the US share market, though, which is more like 26-27%. But it's been justified outperformance in the US. It's been a big part of that. Just over half of that has been driven by earnings growth in the US. Yes, there's been some valuation expansion, but earnings growth in the US has been positive, whereas in Australia, it's been more sort of flatline, to be honest, so far this year.
Okay, so what will it take then for the market to kind of slow down and turn around? Because we're seeing stocks like, for example, the Commonwealth Bank continuously hitting record highs, all this talk about it being potentially overvalued. Do you see a tipping point happening?
Yeah, I think if we look at the various risks that are on the horizon there, one of the key ones is what's happening with longer term interest rates or the 10-year bond yield, as an example, in the US. And, you know, we're at around about 4.3-4.4% at the moment. Really, in the last couple of years, anytime it's moved above 4.5%, we've started to see the share market go, well, hold on a sec, I'm not sure that valuations that are currently in place in the US share market are justified if we've got interest rates that high. And so I think that's one thing to really just keep a close eye on. Are we going to see longer term interest rates move higher as worries about tariffs increase? And is that going to make markets start to question the valuations for the US share market?
Okay, when you're looking at the market today, what's driving it, and is there any particular company news that you're looking at?
Yeah, sure. It's actually been a little bit of a reversal of the Trump trade today. We've seen a little bit of those yield sectors and defensive sectors outperforming. So the REITs have been performing really well. So like your Mervax and your Scentre Groups as an example, and also the healthcare sector, which had been a bit of a laggard and, you know, particularly in the US with RFK Jr. And his appointment had been a little bit of a laggard, a bit of a pick back up in that sector so far today. In terms of stock news, really probably the big news to hit the wires is the takeover offer for SG Fleet from Pacific Equity Partners. That share price is up about 20% today. The takeover offer was at about a 30% premium. And so the share price isn't fully reflecting that value of that offer. So there's some question marks of whether it'll go through. Interestingly, we haven't seen its other peers have their share prices go up today, like your Macmillan Shakespeare, as an example, hasn't actually gone up at the same time. And then we've seen an IPO today in the market. It's under the old ticker code CCL, which was the old Coca-Cola Amatil. So it's Cuzcal IPO. It's actually down a few percent today. So those of you that were in the Guzman IPO and saw it up 35% on its first day of trading, not the same for Cuzcal's IPO today.
Yeah. Finally, I want to get your take on where you see the opportunities for investors at the moment. In particular, I also want to ask whether or not the changing economics of the world, right, with Trump now going to be the president of the US, the potential for interest rates to stay longer. We're seeing market economists pushing back their expectations for when the first rate cut will happen in Australia now. That's what the market's been saying for quite some months now. You know, where are the opportunities and has it changed the way you invest?
Yeah, I think it does give you some pause to maybe if flip the question to go, what's the parts of the market that you should probably avoid if we're going to be in a higher for longer interest rate environment? And so in that environment, I think I'd be avoiding those companies that are particularly highly geared because they're going to be in more trouble as rates stay higher for longer. Those companies that are less profitable or have negative earnings usually going to find themselves in the crosshairs as well. But on the other side, in terms of positives, particularly if we look domestically, if you've got higher for longer interest rates, generally that's good for your insurers here in the domestic market. For us, we would probably stick with what's been working a little bit, which tends to be those higher quality companies, higher return on capital, higher return on it, on equity companies that have been doing well more recently. And I think that'll keep you in good stead as we head into 2025.
That's Luke McMillan there from Afir Asset Management.
This SBS On The Money stream is provided for informational purposes only. The content in this stream should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.